now ask our speaker then to come forward and deliver his remarks on the subject Armageddon. Brother Robert, please.
There's been much talk in the media in recent years of a new world order to be brought about with the use of political means. Each country or nation involved agreed to the theory, but rarely find it practical. They're still persevering with their intentions today and are confident that it will be achieved. The USA has got a new president. And it continues in that fashion. They're confident that peace will be achieved. And yet, since World War II, man has made some astonishing achievements. But we're still living in that age, the nuclear age. Our recent history includes space travel, space stations, men on the moon, unknown planets beyond our solar system. Even the depths of the sea have been explored in much the same way. Diseases are curable or preventable. People are living longer. All these are achievements, great achievements, but it does not bring about what man thinks he can achieve. You would think that with this knowledge, man would be able, capable, of living a reasonably happy existence. But what is the evidence of our own eyes, of our own ears? Nothing but problems, nothing but troubles, and they're ever increasing. What do we actually see? We actually see man's inhumanity to man, whatever the country. Throughout the world, we see this is rife. Billions are spent to explore space, but nations find it difficult to feed the starving peoples of the earth. We search into worlds beyond or beneath our oceans, but we're now into a huge recession, a global recession. Employment cannot be found for the millions of young people who are gradually becoming frustrated, angry, violent, and idle. Research into antidotes for diseases. Marvelous discoveries. Marvelous. But man has failed to control the permissiveness of today's sick society. Violence, drugs, immoral conduct, family life, health are collapsing around him. People are getting disheartened by these many problems. And as a sure sign of this is seen in the great suicides of recent weeks and months in one particular area, in Wales. But these are a few of the many problems faced today. And the natural tendency is that if a trend continues, it's going to end in disaster. The sort of disaster that many politicians have described, and many people have voiced their anguish, and they usually attribute it to one word, Armageddon. Armageddon. The population of the world know that politicians have not the answers. Can we trust our politicians today? With the recent media news about expenses? Can we honestly trust them? In fact, we know that politicians do not have the answers. They may seem to have good ideas, but to carry out these ideas and actually achieve them, it's not in man's hands. But why? Why is all this thing, these things happening in our world today? Why are people stunned by all these things? Yet the scriptures have warned them that these times would come. People of the world today love to hear predictions. The modern soothsayers of today. It was in the 16th century when one such Jewish astrologer and physician began writing obscure prophecies, which are today held in high esteem, only because certain points had a similarity to something that might fulfill his prophecies. A coincidence. But what if it could be proven that men of ancient times predicted far-off events with perfect accuracy? Would they be believed today? One such ancient prediction says that there will be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. And that in that predicted time, the slain will be from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Since that time, there have been wars upon wars, strifes upon strife, trouble upon trouble. And it hasn't changed since that was predicted. But there is a time of trouble that the world has never experienced before. Have we ever known such a global recession that has affected every family in the world? But is that yet only a drop in the ocean? Is there more trouble yet to come? In our introductory reading, in Joel chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the weak say, I am strong." We know that there are superpowers in the world today, USA and Russia. But now we see the weaker nations rising up, saying, I am strong. Korea, nuclear capabilities. Africa, nuclear capabilities. Iran, Iraq, all with nuclear capabilities. And since this proclamation in Joel, it has seen fulfillment in many ways. Nations and countries that were militarily weak and socially backward before the last world war, that includes Russia, are today in possession of nuclear armaments and the fear of many other nations. As easy as it is to hack into computers to destroy years of accumulated information, such nations are now capable of destroying human life on a vast scale at the press of a button. And with all this, the greatest threat of war is in one region, the Middle East. A talking point, even today, the Middle East. And why? Because of its strategic, military, and political position. Politicians believe that to control the Middle East with all its vast oil reserves and revenue is the key to ruling the world. For this reason, humanity is terrified, fearful of that certain word that the politicians use. Armageddon. What does Armageddon mean to them? But the end of the world, when this planet will be blown to smithereens. But only a minority of people throughout this world remain hopeful, calm, confident in the belief of these predictions. For these have not followed cunningly devised fables. That few people in each generation who believe the gospel message do not follow after what politicians say or what they think they can bring about. Those few people believe in the predictions and the prophecies of the Bible, which are factual, which will be achieved. This minority of people, as 2 Peter 1, verse 16 says, and verse 19 to 21, have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is a definite article. Here are sure prophecies that will be fulfilled. And why? Because God, the Creator, is behind it. It is His word, and His word will be fulfilled. Yes, by these assured words of prophecy, we, the minority, the Berean Christadelphians, look with keen interest in the way the world is currently developing and fulfilling prophecy. We are keen to see the signs of the times. We are keen to read the media messages as man sees it. But we know different to what is actually going on. As a warning to his disciples, Lord Jesus said to watch for the signs. If you turn to Luke chapter 21. Begin at verse 22. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We stand in those days. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Here we talk about constellations, not natural, physical constellations that you see in the sky, but political heavens, men in high places. This is what is spoken of here. And whatever they try to resolve a situation, they make worse. President Obama has great ideas. Converse with everyone. But at the same time, is he doing anything to bring about peace? There will be no peace on this earth until Christ returns. And that will come with great judgments upon the peoples of this earth. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. That word perplexity means no way out. Not where man is concerned. They do not have the answers. It is only Christ has the answers. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. The construction industry, gone. In a moment, gone. Can we trust the bank managers? No. But that's just a drop in the ocean. There's far greater things to come on the earth. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. The Lord Jesus Christ predicted these things. The problems that the world will face at the time of the end. And primarily the time of the fulfillment of this particular prophecy was as far back as AD 70. And the world has gradually got worse and worse and worse right up until today. But it shows that the prophecy of Scripture is sound and will be fulfilled. So Bible testimony is the key warning. In it, you will find that this world is facing and actually entering its final phase. A crisis likened to the time of Noah and Lot. Luke chapter 17. Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. What did they do in the days of Noah? They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, what did they do? They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus, and here comes the stark warning for our day and generation. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, when he returns to the earth to bring those judgments. So why did he describe this phase to the days of Noah, for example? Well, in the Genesis record, chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it grieved him. What does God see today? What does God see today? We can see it with our own eyes. What does God see today? Godlessness, evil, after man's own heart continually. No worship, except for a small minority. If he brought about the flood in the times of Genesis, shortly after the creation, what do you think he's going to bring upon this evil world? Great judgments, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. Great judgments. In the time of the flood, only 8 people were saved, amongst the countless millions that were destroyed. What of this world's population? Countless millions will perish. But there will be that minority who find grace in the eyes of God, the Creator. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Verse 1. Primarily, this chapter again relates to the year AD 70. But it also serves as part of that stark warning, a key warning for today. The words, though written down many centuries ago, are still as strong as ever. It describes our society today. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Which seems the more simpler way to come to the knowledge of the truth. And yet men, people today would rather do other things. Seek pleasure. The sun is out. Let's go out for the day. Let's go to the beach. Let's go to the countryside. But there's no God in their hearts except the sin that they follow, except the pleasures that last only for a moment. And then you get the priests, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the stark warning is, from such turn away. And here are the similar conditions of society that Paul faced. It was many centuries ago, and we are now living in the last days when we see these affect society in such a greater way. As we've already stated, the world today marvel at the prediction of modern soothsayers, but do not heed the word of God, which is that more sure word of prophecy. Acts chapter 17. And verse 31. Verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. Remember, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed the world with a flood at that early time. It doesn't mean, though, that judgment will not come again. Because it says here, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. But he never closed his eyes to these things that are happening in the world. He has never forgotten the things that man does in this world. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Again, a small minority out of a vast population heard the gospel message, heard the words of a more sure word of prophecy, and believed it. They sleep in the dust, but they will be resurrected, as we heard. Some mocked about the resurrection, as they do today. It's no difference. But to the believer, there's a great and glorious future, because he will benefit from the sure word of prophecy when it is fulfilled. And all prophecies in the scripture point forward to that appointed day. Despite the obvious signs in the earth concerning that day, the majority of the population of this world failed to see them. It is either because they are willingly ignorant by rejecting the Bible once and for all, the atheist, as they term themselves, or they're actually being blinded by those who profess to know more about the Bible, Christendom. Our world is certainly set for this final phase. And the Lord Jesus Christ has declared what that final phase is in his revelation to us. We go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation 16. Verse 15 says of his return to the earth a second time, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. How the world and the politicians have taken this word out of context. They think, and they still believe to this day, this world is due to be blown to smithereens. But what does Armageddon actually mean? Well, it is a word to be feared, because we know the truth about the word. In comparison to the days of Noah and Lot, what will that day actually bring? The judgment of Armageddon will result in one thing. Man's rule is at an end. Israel's redemption. A righteous king sitting on the throne of David as a worldwide ruler. Peace will follow. What a new world that would be. Just think about that. What this word will actually bring about. All foes will have been defeated, and Christ will rule over the earth as the universal king. The earth will be cleansed from all evil and all ungodliness. What a beautiful harmony will take place. You won't get it today. Nobody's in harmony today. All you see today is anger. So what is Armageddon? What is the connection then with the Jewish race? Where is Armageddon likely to take place? When will it occur? Well, Armageddon, the word Hebrew, as it says in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon, can be split down into three words. Armor, which is taken from the Hebrew word arima, signifies a heap of sheaves. Gay is taken from the word gat, denoting in a valley. So Armage is a heap of sheaves in a valley. And the last part, done, or the Hebrew word dan means for judgment. Put them all together, and the word Armageddon simply means a heap of sheaves in a valley for judgment. Which indicates then a place in which a national judgment will take place. Now in past lectures we have given and we've seen that the restoration of the Jews is one of the great signs indicating the nearness of Christ's return to the earth. Scripture confirms it. Anyone seeking salvation must take hold of the hope of Israel. As Scripture says, salvation is of the Jews. And so it is in Revelation 16, and verse 16 again clarifies the Israelitish connection. And it answers our second question. It is common knowledge that the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. The New Testament is in Greek. And yet in Revelation 16:16, which is the New Testament, which is in Greek, there is a direct reference to the Hebrew tongue. And that particular word, Armageddon. So to answer question 3, we need to turn our attention to our introductory reading again, in Joel chapter 3. Again, a more sure word of prophecy, because it ties in with what we just read in Revelation. Chapter 3 and verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time. What time? Well, we read that God has appointed a certain day in which all these things shall be fulfilled. It relates to the appointed day of Christ's return. What will happen? Well, I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Here's the Israelitish connection. Where then is this judgment to take place? Well, the venue is there, Judah and Jerusalem. I will also gather all nations. Not one nation is left out. I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Into what valley? The heap of sheaves in a valley for judgment. The valley of Jehoshaphat, which is only in Israel. There's no other place in the world. Here again, the nations that fight against Jesus, they'll come down into this valley. The valley of Jehoshaphat is a place near Jerusalem. You won't find any other valley named that. I'll bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people. God's people are only the Jews. And for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Verse 12. Let the heathen, the nations, be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the nations round about. Here is the righteousness of God's judgments by the man whom he ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13. Here's a description of the type of judgments that will take place. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the grass is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Aren't these words that you recognize from Genesis chapter 6? God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and he brought about the flood. He brought fire and brimstone from heaven to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. These are sure words of prophecy, and it's talking about today. The judgments that are soon to be poured out on today's society. For their wickedness is great. Verse 14. Multitudes. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Decision, cutting off. Judgment. Penalties for an evil world. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through any more. Again we come to those descriptive words. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. Remember what we read in Luke 21? The political heavens will be shaken, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Politicians of today certainly shine with promises, but unfulfilled ones. In those days, they will have no shining at all. They will be replaced. So we have clearly got an indication who God's people are and what the Israelitish connection is. The Old Testament, as I said, was written in Hebrew. It indicates that judgment will take place in the valley of Jehoshaphat. In other words, in the valley of threshing, when the harvest is ripe. New Testament is written in Greek, shows us the place. Armageddon, a heap of sheaves in a valley for judgment. It is merely the symbolical name indicated that the nations will be gathered together for the purpose of divine judgment in that particular valley. Joel chapter 3 and verse 16 shows precisely where this valley is situated. It is in Israel. Turn to Zechariah chapter 14. Now the precise point where the battle of Armageddon and the judgment is can be substantiated by this particular prophecy. Verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations that come against Israel, as when he fought in the day of battle. Here, we're looking for an army to come against Israel in the latter days. This is natural. Where's this idea of the world being blown to smithereens under the word Armageddon? Where does this idea come from? It's almost like a fairy tale. Jeremiah chapter 23. going to some verses now to prove the contrary. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, that is days to come, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Now, if the world is going to be blown to smithereens, what was the purpose of this? He's saying that Israel shall dwell safely in their own land. There's no mention of the world being blown up. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. What for? If he's going to blow it to smithereens. Which shall never be destroyed. That goes against what they think then, don't they? They think it's going to be blown to smithereens. What is this kingdom that's never going to be destroyed? And the kingdom shall not be left to other peoples, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, kingdoms of today, the nations, and it shall stand forever. You can see then how preposterous the idea is. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. I saw it in night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Who is the man? Well, we've already had the answer in Luke. Christ is the King of righteousness. Christ is the universal King. It is Christ that will be triumphant in this war. When will it occur? Go to the New Testament in Acts. Acts chapter 1. A similar question was asked before Jesus ascended into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they were therefore come together, the disciples, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What a great expectation. You could see what was in their hearts and what was in their minds. The harmony of the scriptures. Well, when are you going to set up this kingdom that you've spoken of for so long? And they thought it was going to happen there and then. They didn't understand. They had to go away and then come back again. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The time was not then. But we can equally say with the disciples, when will you return to set up the kingdom that will last forever? We have the same expectations as the disciples did. Okay, they got it wrong. But it wasn't a wrong assumption. They knew what they wanted. They knew what they needed. And we need Christ to return, to sit on the throne of David and become universal king, and to rule this world in righteousness. He is the appointed king. Ezekiel 38. Another more sure word of prophecy. We've talked about nations being gathered, multitudes in the valley of decision. In a valley when the harvest is ripe. In a heap of sheaves ready to be cut down. But what is the army that comes to fight against Israel? Ezekiel 38 predicts an invasion of this area in the latter days. Verse 15. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the nations may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time? Here's the connection. It's a prophecy that's been going on for centuries. Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face, the same kind of fury that happened during the flood and the time of Lot. He saw that the wickedness of man is great. This is the wrath of God. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword of judgment against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and will rain upon him, and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain, and great hailstones, fire and brimstone, typical of the days of Lot, typical of the plagues that were poured out upon Egypt, the artillery of heaven. And the result, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. The day of awakening. The day when people's eyes shall see the truth. Ezekiel 39, verse 1. Therefore, thou, son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Gog, Meshach, Tubal. We have another lecture that explains these in greater detail. But we're talking about the north country, north of Israel. If you take a line straight up longitude from Israel, you hit Moscow, Russia. This is the army that's going to come down on Israel, but they will proceed no further. I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it. That's the authority. I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and will not let them pollute my holy name any more, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. Spoken for centuries. Warnings for many. A warning that goes unheeded by the majority. We may be a minority in the world, keenly looking for the return of Christ, but we know that we have the hope of Israel. We have the hope and promise of salvation from that terrible storm of judgments to come. We also know that we will be saved in that day. And to become associated with the hope of Israel and the hope of salvation, there's something we must continue to do. You must fulfill something essential to it. Believe the gospel. Read it. Study it. Remember it. Meditate upon it. Bring it into your life. Let it be your way of life. Christ instructed his disciples before he went into heaven, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But then he gave us that warning. He that believeth not shall be damned, condemned.